Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Weed Day Wednesday, Tucson, Arizona's number one online radio podcast about all things medical cannabis. Your host, Bellstar.
And the Cannabis Kid. Our show features news, interviews, and all the latest information about anything and everything medical cannabis related in Tucson, Arizona, and the world at large.
We'd love to hear from you. Please give us a call live at 646-915-8421. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on all social media, or email thctucson@gmail.com.
We'd like to thank Tumbleweeds Health Center and Studio Scene, along with our many sponsors, for hosting our show every week. With the lowest price certifications in town, you'll find hemp products, accessories, and all things related to medical cannabis education.
Visit Tumbleweeds Health Center at 4826 East Broadway Boulevard or online at tumbleweedshealthcenter.com. And remember,
be smart,
be safe,
and educate.
If you suffer from one of these medical conditions and have been diagnosed by an Arizona licensed physician, medical cannabis may help relieve your symptoms. Tumbleweeds Health Center is Arizona's premier cannabis certification, health, and education center. Our primary focus is to help the patients of Arizona obtain their medical marijuana card and educate everyone about medical cannabis. With current medical records, approval is a simple process. Contact Tumbleweeds Health Center to see if you qualify for your Arizona medical marijuana card.
Canna Health is a digital magazine focused on knowledge, safe access, and advocacy, with a monthly subscription readership. It's loaded with scientific and clinical articles from various healthcare professionals, profiles of cannabis clinics offering safe access to medicines, national and local organizations open to the public, and real-life patient success stories. It's free to subscribe, so don't miss another issue of Canna Health.
Gabe, are you with us?
I sure am.
Oh, yay. Welcome to the show. Finally, I had to trick the system once again to get you on.
No worries. Thank you for having me.
So, you're welcome. And if you know of another podcast platform, you're going to have to let us know.
I may have some suggestions.
Okay, there we go. See, we're good. This is the whole reason the universe put us together.
Exactly.
How are you doing?
Exactly. Doing very well. How's your morning going?
Awesome. I love the morning time. I'm always up early, and it's nice and cool because it's – well, you're up a little bit northern from Tucson, right? You're up in the Phoenix area?
Yeah, Phoenix area. I'm looking at the forecast next week and dreading it a little bit, but, you know, to set
gross.
The AC now. So.
Right? Yeah. Everybody change your filters.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it's going to get hot. Well, thank you so much for getting up early and coming on air with us.
Oh, of course. No, more than happy to.
So, Gabe, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into the cannabis industry and how you got here.
Certainly, yeah, more than happy to. So, man, kind of a long into cannabis, I would say, but I... My first big boy job out of college, as I like to put it, I was working in technology. So I was working for a startup in my hometown in Washington State, one of the first states to kind of legalize. And then from there, I went into an entrepreneurship program and had some ideas for a technology company I wanted to start that did like video game competitions and things like that. So
cool.
I actually I went into Arizona State's Technology Entrepreneurship Program where I found my business partner, and we went to a Google Startup Weekend and took third place with that. So we thought, hey, you know, why not? Let's
wow.
move to Phoenix and we'll build this thing. And that one was where I basically just drove that company off a cliff and didn't leave skid marks, as I like to put it, because it was so much learning that was happening at the time. You know, I was inexperienced. Yeah. I was naive. I was eager, but there were so
launched.
Many lessons. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Launched in a bit of a crash landing.
Wow.
So really good experience. It was phenomenal. I got to meet a lot of great mentors. And basically
was
after
it a
that,
game
I,
that you made? I have to ask.
It wasn't.
I love video games.
Yeah, no problem. Oh, perfect. Well, it wasn't a game, but what we did is we hooked into the some of the top games in the industry right now, and then we pulled all their data back, and then we
uh-huh.
would run leaderboards and competitions and tournaments with influencers. So we
oh.
go get a brand that wanted to do a competition, and then you know
right.
whoever got the most wins that week or whatever it might be, we gave away prizes and things like that for it. So
sweet.
It was fun. It was a fun business.
Yeah.
I got to meet a lot of fun people. But yeah, so after that one, I had a little bit of a chip on my shoulder, you know, from wanting to know more about technology, wanting to know more about sales. So I went heavy into consulting and here in Phoenix. And then shortly after, one of my mentors from the first business asked me to come lead a sales and marketing effort at an Intel venture. Basically, Intel Capital has like a venture capital firm. And so they were starting a company with another business here in town. And so I got to do that. And that one was a success. That one was, you know, 0 to 4 million in 20 months. It was very exciting,
wow.
very fun.
Awesome.
Yeah. So kind of was like, hey, let's make sure I learned what I was supposed to from all the learning lumps, right? From my own and the first one.
From the cliff jumping.
So, yes, exactly. So he gave me some good space to do that. And then from there, you know, I went to go work at another VC firm. COVID happened and a lot of the money started drying up a little bit. So we said, okay, you know, my business partner from before and I, we have been working on projects on the side. And we were like, hey, well, let's go help our friends that actually have technology companies. And then we came across a model where he had actually helped spin it out of an accelerator with virtual consultations for dentists. And
oh.
what we found was that in dentistry, it could actually increase the treatment conversion. So someone opting into treatment from like 10% on a phone call, right? So you're driving all
uh-huh.
of your marketing to a website to drive people to a phone call to talk to your receptionist, right, to try and book an appointment. And
right.
when they implemented this virtual consultation, what happened is it went from a 10% treatment acceptance to over an 80% treatment acceptance.
Oh, my gosh.
And, so we said, hey, that's a good model. And we were thinking back to
yeah.
some of our experiences in cannabis. And we went to a very well-known dispensary out in Venice Beach, California. And we basically watched his wife, who's never done a drug before in her life, try to navigate the store and try to understand what she would want to be getting, you know, and why she would want to be getting and how much. And, you know, it was a bit of a lackluster experience. It was confusing. After she left,
yeah.
she didn't actually remember what she had bought or
mm-hmm.
how it was going to help the benefits,
exactly.
the values of those products. And so we said, you know,
yeah.
with all of these states coming online with both adult use, but also medical and then COVID happening, what's a way that we can better empower not only the consumer to learn more about how cannabis can help with their specific ailments or even for their night in or their night out, but also
uh-huh.
for the bud tenders in the dispensaries, how do we help them become more efficient at telling the story of the brands that they may have
mm-hmm.
or the strains that they may have or terpenes and cannabinoids and how they relate to that specific person. So we basically built a
right.
software that helps accommodate that. And it's a passion.
Mm.
It's an industry that we've been passionate about for a long time. It's so connected to gaming. You know, you kind of cross into other industries like music and games and movies and cannabis, and they're all kind of intertwined
mm-hmm.
in entertainment. So it was kind
right.
of just like a perfect fit. And so, yeah, we we basically launched not too long ago. We've been running pilots at dispensaries, medical centers here in Arizona and back in my hometown of Spokane, Washington. So we've been getting really great feedback, especially as things heat up outside. People want to cut down their lines make it a little easier for their customer. So that's kind of the story. It's a little bit of a long one, so sorry to bore you. But, yeah, no, it was
an awesome story.
Very fun journey.
You've had an exciting life so far.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I like to think so. It's been pretty entertaining, especially for my fiance, who's been on the roller coaster up and down. So, she hung in there. Yep.
Good for her. Well, that's great. Yeah, the dispensaries, they do need a lot of help and a lot of guidance. And the bud tenders, quote unquote, I hate that term, but those guys and gals need serious training. Oh my gosh. They need a lot of training, but it's overwhelming.
Certainly.
I mean, as with any drug, you know, if you have to go to the pharmacy, God forbid, and get some chemical, that your doctor's recommended for whatever reason, that's overwhelming. But at least when you're there, the pharmacist will come up and personally explain to you, like, you know, answer all your questions and, you know, do all that kind of stuff. So what are you guys doing to help the bud tenders?
Yeah, so a lot of times, you know, and I noticed, by the way, I think on your website you guys call them patient advocates, which I actually like a lot better.
Thank you, yeah.
So the person serving the consumer, they basically are able to be a little bit more efficient, and they're able to offer recommendations really, really easily. So a lot of times when we were talking to other dispensary bud tenders, they're saying, hey, you know, I run off of tips for the most part. So I know that I need to see 50 patients a day, right? Or 50 people a day in order for my tip jar to be where I want it to be. So I can leave and I can feel like I had a successful day. Right.
So most of them are running off of tips.
Well, tips, I mean, there's an hourly wage too, but a lot of them are incentivized by the tips. So at least in recreational, right? So they said, okay, well, we were like, all right, well, what if you could see, you know, 70 or 100 people a day? Because all you got to do is record a less than 5-minute video, right? Basically, the way the software works is the consumer fills out a short quiz on how they want to experience cannabis or what questions they might have. Are they medical? Mm-hmm. Are they recreational? You know, what things should we leave out? What things are you curious about? And then how do you want to receive that consult, and, you know, text or email? And then what happens when that consult comes in is the patient advocate, I would say in your case, right, they would receive that consult, they'd see all the information, and then they go and actually select products that they think are going to be the best for whatever ailments or whatever their plans are for that day, right, on why they might be looking at cannabis.
Right.
And then they record a quick video, less than 5 minutes, and then send it off. And then from there, the consumer can basically look at the video, see the products that are recommended. We integrate into pretty much every modern e-commerce platform or POS system, and they can create an order and then schedule it for pickup or delivery or curbside, whichever the dispensary or the medical center offers at the time. So it makes it a lot more efficient for the bud tender. And then what's great for the dispensary is that you can kind of control the consistency with which your interaction with consumers and patients is, right? So you want someone who's really, really skilled at delivering that information and getting it to that consumer, you know, as thoroughly and efficiently as possible. So that's what we try to help the bud tender dispensary with.
Yeah, it's really hard for people. I mean, first of all, you have to have those personal skills, you know, people skills.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and then you got to know your cannabis. But then you got to know people's ailments when they're coming in, and that's a doozy right there. And, you know, when we were talking earlier about drug interactions and things like that. It's a lot. It's a big learning curve for everybody.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, so the takeaway from the patient that comes in is, gosh, you know, there's so much information. What did I get? What product did I just buy? Because we've had patients that go to dispensaries, and literally they will come back to us with a bag full of different things, and they put them all out, you know, throw them out on the table, and they're like, here, well, I got this, and they said, eat that, and we're like, oh, no, don't eat that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ever. Or eat this little tiny piece, you know. So it's you know, it's a lot for everybody. So
absolutely.
That's a good.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've heard from other medical centers too, like in the Denver area, where they're saying, you know, we hear it all the time where someone is, you know, misdosed. I don't want to say overdosed, but that's you know, they're misdosed.
I like that term, misdosed.
And, and you know, Grandma Mabel just wanted to, you know, get some for arthritis, and you know, she's got a 30 milligram edible that the bud tender suggested, right? And they react differently for her than someone else. And it might be the last time she tries cannabis if that's her experience, because she doesn't, you know, she might not understand, you know, that there are different, you know, strengths and
we get
ways
that
in which
too.
It can benefit her
all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
Pretty common occurrence, I hear. So we definitely want those people coming back in and leaning in, not getting a poor experience and saying, oh, that I'll never touch that stuff again. Right. So there's just way too many benefits.
Yeah. Yeah, there are, and that's what we do. Unfortunately, we do get a lot of that, you know, because they don't know, and that's the thing—they can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
It's there's so much to remember. So,
certainly,
yeah. And what are so during these times right now? What are customers preferring to do? Are they just want to, like, you know, get delivery or pick it up? You know, and they don't want to wait in line. And, you know, especially when, like you said, the heat's coming, and they definitely don't want people waiting outside. They'll pass out.
Sure. Yeah, I would say it's a mixture. Delivery is great. The problem with the delivery model at the moment is that most of the people that are going to be using your delivery model, at least this is what we found, are people that actually understand what they already want. So they're users that have been around the plant a long time. They've, you know, they've got like a pretty good base of product knowledge. But when someone who is new is looking at your website, right, Dutchie and Jane did a great job, and a lot of these POS systems did a great job of bringing everybody online. But when I'm a new consumer and I'm looking at pictures of flower, or I'm looking at pictures of, you know, cartridges, but no one's explained to me what the values or the benefits of each of these things should be, you know, it becomes really difficult for me to even, like, want to transact, right? It's like, oh, well, I'll just go in. Right, but it's 117 outside when I drive by, and you know there's 50 people in line. You know, it's just not a great experience. So I think something like this could actually bridge the gap. You know, with Upsparrow, I think it could bridge the gap for that delivery service. You know, so that hey, I know what I'm getting, I know what I'm being introduced to. Great, check out. You know, have that delivered to me today. So.
Right, and now what kind of do you have? Software for the patient where they can track everything, like a little, you know, on their phone, a little app.
That's something like that we're working on, like a patient profile.
Okay, coming soon.
coming soon. But the patient profile is an interesting one, because I know that there's a lot of use cases where, especially in medical, there's, you know, your rolling allotment and things like that, which are hard to keep track of if, like, everything's in different measurements, right? Grams, ounces. It's a little bit harder to track it. So having it right there, you know, inside a profile would be great. Taking a look at your previous consults should be easy enough. What's great about the consult is, you know, it's a web page, so it's already in your texts or your email, so you can always revisit them now. But would love to have an opportunity to build a profile so that everything's right there, right? You know how much allotment you have, you know all that kind of stuff. So.
Okay. Yeah, that's perfect. And then, you know, they can remember what they got, because like you said, you get home and quite honestly, the labeling on the products you get is, I don't know who they're, you know, you need a magnifying glass with these things, and you can't even see, you know, what it is.
Right.
Yeah.
Or terpene profiles, or, you know,
you can't see any of that.
Yeah, and I've seen some people, some brands are trying to take an effort to, like, put a QR code. I think that was one good benefit that came out of COVID, was that we all know how to use QR codes now, whether you're
ordering
drinks or, you know, whatever.
Is that, isn't that funny? Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, well, some people are trying to put that little profile of that product and what it should do on the packaging, so that if you need more information, you could do it. But it's a large undertaking, right? And a lot of them are using it as an opportunity to just, again, show more pictures of flower with no benefits, no terpene profiles, no cannabinoid profiles. So, yeah, it can be better. It certainly can be better. So
yeah. Well, and you know, people, I think people quickly know what's off-putting to them. So if they are thinking they're going to go get information, all they see are pictures, and they're like, well, next, you know, we'll go to the next place.
Totally, totally. I agree. Yeah, it's, you know, sooner or later, and where we'd love to get to is actually pulling in a lot of this data too, so that, you know, the bud tenders or the patient advocates can get a quick refresher also. You know, a sommelier, when they're presenting wine, they're always looking at a kind of a cheat sheet card, right? It's from this region, it's this, it's that, right? All of their wine
knowledge.
Yeah,
here are your five bullet points for each of these, right? Yeah.
Exactly. And it's great for the growers that are spending all of their time on these strains, because there's a survey done and it said 4 out of 5 growers don't believe that the bud tenders are adequately communicating the benefits or the story about their product or strain. Which is not what the growers want, obviously, labor of love. But at the same time,
but it seems
you know,
to be, Go ahead, please. No, it just seems to be like, unfortunately, a money thing. They want people in and out. And we service a lot of older people, and, you know, they're slow.
Right.
They need to understand this stuff, and they want to know why they should be doing this versus the Tylenol and Excedrin and morphine that their doctors have been giving them for years.
Right.
That they trust, unfortunately.
Totally.
But, you know, but that's how it is. Yeah. So they need hand-holding and a lot of it.
Absolutely. Well, I noticed you guys do telemedicine and things like that. How has the impact been if you're working with predominantly, you know, an older demo? How has that worked for you? Do you feel like we've ramped up pretty quick? Everyone kind of knows how to use Zoom now, or what's your experience been? I'm just curious, in the real-time kind of telehealth space.
Yeah, you know, quite honestly, the older folks are having a really hard time with it. They really do. I mean, we're, you know, they get help, and, you know, we try and make it as easy as possible. You just send them a link in their email, and they click it, you know. But that's the easy part, okay? The telemedicine is the easy part. But when you go to register online through the health department, you know, AZDHS.
Oh, yeah.
Their patient portal, you know, it's just, you know, that's hard for them. And all the, you know, what if they have to go do something, that's difficult. The patient portals are hard for older people who just aren't used to that kind of stuff, and you can't blame them.
Makes sense.
Yeah,
I mean,
it does. I went into my portal the other day and couldn't find my ID card. It wouldn't load. Okay. I'm like, see, what the heck? Yeah, I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah,
man,
yeah, they're really having a difficult time.
Very interesting. No, I think that, you know, people started to see the government website experience was pretty broken, especially when, like, unemployment benefits came through, you know. Like, everybody that was affected by COVID, you know, they were trying to get in and register for unemployment benefits, and the system just couldn't even take the load. The menus are confusing. Everything's going on, so... you know, pretty much every state was hiring developers from coding languages that were, you know, 25 years old to try and get them to help. So people are coming out of retirement to try and update these sites. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
It's absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, completely understand.
It's hard for them. That's just not their nature. It's not their way. They're used to just
going
down to the pharmacist that they've known since birth. You know, they probably birthed them, you know. That's probably your pharmacist.
Totally.
Last doctor.
Yeah. Good point.
You
Good
know?
Point.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden you've got like an urgent care on every corner with about 50 doctors in there, and no one knows your name and or who you are or where you're from and what town your mom grew up in. And you know, they're like, I have to do what? No more Little House on the Prairie.
Exactly. Very interesting. Well, I can tell you guys really care about the experience of everyone there. So, you know, it's a slightly different experience, I would say, than, you know, a like a large box tourist attraction. Like I went, you know, to Vegas and experienced some of those.
Oh,
but,
boy.
Yeah, no, it sounds like you guys take great care to to really make sure everybody has all the information they need, which is terrific. We need a lot more of that overall, I think, in order for cannabis to be accepted.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. We appreciate it. And I think there are always going to be, probably two types of people that use cannabis, and that's fine. And some people are really using it. The older you get, the more you realize you need it for pain. I don't know. You sound real young, but wait till you get older, just keep using cannabis now. It'll help. But you get to 70 years old, and then you've got like 4 or 5 different diseases, and they've got all that stuff going on. So yeah, we try and make sure that people start with low doses. Microdosing is what I guess they're calling it these days, where you just start out with a milligram or two, something really small. I say, if you don't feel it, that's okay. Try it. But if you feel better, it's like, the effect of Tylenol or something. You're not going to feel Tylenol and be like, woo, I'm on Tylenol. If you're microdosing, just going to feel better, right? Your headache's just going to go away.
Right.
And that's kind of how, we want, our patients to kind of experience it, just not all freaky high, they don't want to be that.
Totally. Right. It will make their day golf a little tougher.
That's on them.
Right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Exactly.
I kept making the hole. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, which is probably not good for dispensaries, but, you get a better customer that way when you really listen, and hopefully the quote-unquote bud tenders out there will take time. Do your products cater to them and education at all, or are you integrating that in your systems? Or
great question. Yeah, and I agree with you on the relationship part of it. I think is really what you're getting to with your most recent statement is, how do I make sure that this person can trust and come here for the rest of their life, ultimately, ideally, but stay a long-term customer. A lot of the dispensaries, their marketing, is really pointing to one transaction, right? So how do I get a customer in the door right now? But the relationship is really built when you start marketing for 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 visits. And it's not just about, offering penny pre-rolls with something or, whatever it might be. It's like,
no kidding.
How did you make this person feel? Are they empowered, right, to make decisions and hear out and explore and learn? Right, comfortability, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, the relationship, I think, is another portion of that where we really try to help is, hey, come put your best foot forward in this interaction. It's not a, hey, what can I get you for every patient, right? Or every consumer. Let's try to put our best foot forward for information there. But as far as the info side of things goes with the bud tenders, we've been looking for solutions that could help us. We've got one on our radar. It's called Learn Brands. They basically have a learning management platform for bud tenders to go in and learn about a brand. In order to sell it in a more educated way.
Yep.
We're looking at what information they really have, because obviously the brands are interested in that, right, and the growers. But what is the bud tender really getting out of it? That's what we're trying to figure out on our side. So we'd love to incorporate training and like a quick 5-minute videos or 1-minute 60-second videos with, the bullet points kind of like we talked about. And, it makes it more – intriguing and exciting for the consumer who's looking to learn more when that bud tender is recording the video. So we're looking at different integration partners for it. TBD also.
That's awesome. Exactly. That's great. Yeah. And that relationship is going to be key. I think a lot of people are going to stay in the tele everything. They're going to just I think this COVID has really, scared a lot of people into just like, if I can just go run and pick it up or something, that's fine. So, or if I can meet and talk with someone on a video even, that's great.
Totally.
Less chance of, especially for the older population that, are already immune compromised and stuff. They don't want to spend any more time catching cooties than they have to.
Yeah, especially when you're going to pick up medicine, right? That's just counterintuitive. So, agreed. I think COVID put us ahead in a lot of ways, 10 years, 15 years maybe, than where we would have been before. I completely agree.
A lot of businesses are finding that, and you probably are finding this too, that they realize that their staff can really do well from home, and they don't have to have the brick and mortar, or they, they're paying less in overhead because of that. And so that's an interesting thing that's happening with businesses too.
Yeah. So, and this is kind of where I think, dispensaries have to be, regular retail dispensaries have to be a little bit careful, because there's always going to be a Walmart or an Amazon, right? Traditional retail, if you're not building the relationship, or you're not a boutique, or, something that people rely on, it's going to be tough for you to compete in that space, just like it was for, the mom and pop hardware store when, Ace came in or Home Depot came in, whatever.
Right.
So something that we look at, some dispensaries, they say, hey, my churn for these employees is so high that, spending a bunch of time educating them or hiring and training is just, it's costing a lot of money to try and deliver cannabis to these consumers. So something that we were looking at is even basically we could offer Budtender as a service, or, Patient Advocate as a service, where those consults come in and we educate the customer, we help them understand the products that may be best for their ailments. And then we actually send them over to that dispensary, right? So it's custom branded for the dispensary. Something that we've been looking into, because augmented staffing is how we fill the gaps in the serving industry. It's how we fill the gaps in, hospitality and nursing. But it's not something that people have looked at from like a virtual consult, certainly in telemedicine. It's already started to take foot. But, with this asynchronous kind of model where, it's a video, it doesn't have to be real time. It's something we've been looking at as well. But just to keep that experience really, really high quality, right? And I think that if dispensaries could, unfortunately, I think that they would opt to have less Budtenders who are really, really good, like that are patient advocates, I would say, right? Quality.
And
pay them better to be able to deliver this. Yeah.
Right.
Just a drive-through, right? No need to have a line outside. Yeah. No need to have 15 Budtenders, right? Mm-mm. So
right.
Could happen.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it's going in the way. Yeah, and there are always those people that are just more in tune and sensitive to that anyway. And they probably get the better tips anyway.
Well, yeah, I think there's pains with any business, right? You want employees to care as much as you do, but ultimately that's unfair, right? They should care as much as, as much as they have capacity to, and you try to find those people you sift through and find the diamonds,
And no one will care about your business as much as you do anyway. That's just,
That's right.
That's just a given.
That's right.
That's just a given. But you got to find the employees that are, that love what you do and love what they do. Because, helping in any capacity, whether it's helping people with their SEO or point of sale systems or patient advocates or whatever, I think being in the cannabis industry is good for, the planet. I think more people need to use it.
Sure. And for the planet and humanity, for sure. It's definitely it's going to be good for everyone to have some sort of experience with it in the modern day and age. I think it was something like 80% of the United States still hasn't tried cannabis. So, it's coming through. Yeah, it's coming around. There's still quite a bit of market to be tapped into. There's tons of big tobacco companies on the sidelines, tons of big pharmaceutical companies on the sidelines waiting this opportunity. So a lot of these businesses, the more that dispensary, medical center, brands, growers, right, the more we can communicate as to why someone would use your product, the more defensible you're going to be when, your big box retailer starts stocking Marlboro, pre-rolls or something, right? Because hopefully their brand identity is a little tarnished compared to yours, right?
Oh, boy.
So, yeah.
Yeah, hopefully. I don't know. I think you're talking big money there.
Yeah,
well, that's
yeah.
where, like, you know, product training comes in. Like you were saying, why would I use this versus that? You know, what's the benefit?
Certainly.
Yeah.
Certainly, yeah.
Absolutely. That's just a challenge when some dispensaries run out of something. I've had several patients, you know, send me emails and say, hey, I can't get this anymore. And it was the only thing that worked, you know. So I end up just contacting the companies for them and saying, hey, where are your products? Because, you know, so-and-so ran out, you know. It's
totally.
It's very interesting how it's happening. It's a
the wild west
in there.
It is, and the demand is only going to grow. That's the crazy part, right? So,
yeah.
It was cost-effective for a lot of these dispensaries to operate, you know, the ones that were waiting for recreational to pass. It was cost-effective for them to be in neighborhoods where they could get a really small space, you know, 900 square feet to try and pack as many people in and out as they could. But, you know, even that retail experience, I think, is going to change. A lot of dispensaries are starting to build bigger spaces and, you know, they're kind of trying to anticipate what's going on and how they stock more product. And with all the new licensing that came out and that are being awarded, it's only going to get even crazier. So, I agree.
Yeah.
I think the patient education, the product knowledge, you know, and ultimately the selling experience and the patient experience is something that's going to keep this in the hands of people that really, really care about the plant instead of, you know, an incumbent moving in and trying to, you know, bring their models, because they will come, right? They're coming with
they're
their
coming.
Investors and their big money.
They're here
so,
already,
yeah,
actually.
Or they're here.
They're not
Okay.
You know. You know which ones I'm talking about.
I do.
Yeah.
So,
they're here. Yeah. And the great thing about this is mom and pop has room. You know, if they want to go hemp or something, but there are a lot of places that people can still get involved. And, you know, if they want to do cannabis or hemp, I think there are opportunities. It's, you know, it's going to be harder here with these last runs of social equity licenses coming about. And then that's it. But there are opportunities with hemp and all sorts of other things, you know, so. Yeah,
absolutely.
Opportunities are coming. And you said 80% of people haven't tried cannabis?
That's right. Yeah, haven't or aren't using cannabis. So.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
It's a giant untapped market
that's
still yet to be there.
Holy cow.
Yep.
Yep, we're just seriously in the basement of it all. Yeah, it's going to explode.
That's right.
This is exploding, but it's going to, like, burst.
Yeah, no, and you know, it's thanks to people like, you know, medical centers that started early, like you guys, and you know, pioneered and you know, kind of paved the way for a lot of the people before you, recreational, all these other things, right? There are a lot of complications that came with that, and people that, you know, struggled to get, you know, the industry to where it is. And so let's make sure that those people have, you know, a playing field to compete, and you know, the tools in place and the technologies in place to do it. We want those people to be around a long time because that knowledge is immense, right? That knowledge store, we need to make sure it's passed down. So there's too much to have it go out to, you know, the Walmart of cannabis superstore if it comes ever.
I know. it's coming. But so are the mom and pops, you know, they're, you know, and
that's
other
right.
places. Yeah. Thank you so much. I know you have to get going here. But I just want to say thank you so much for coming on, and we'll definitely chat behind the scenes here and talk about, you know, products and podcasts.
Phenomenal. Well, no, thank you so much for having me. This is terrific, and it was such a joy to talk to you. I appreciate you having me on.
Well, thank you, and you're welcome back anytime, and stay cool up there. Make sure your AC is working or you have a pool.
Will do. I'm on it.
All right. Thanks so much, Gabe.
Thank you.
All right, take care.
You too.
Bye-bye. All right. Gabe Cruz, everybody. Woo, there you go. And you could go to it's upsparrow.io. Is that information? I'm not sure what IO is. But you can go there. It's upsparrow, just like it sounds, up and sparrow.io. And you can check out, bring your dispensary products and customers together. that's really super important. That's one thing that the dispensaries definitely are needing to do, and in a good way. And it sounds like Gabe's on his way to do that. Different ways of interacting with your quote bud tenders, and different ways of getting your business out there. So thank you so much for coming on the show. And any questions you want, I totally forgot to ask, but you can send them to thctucson@gmail.com, or you can, I'm sure there is right there. You can contact the company right there in our blog section right now. If you want to contact Gabe, you can request a demo right there online. So there you go. And there's the contact button right there. So check it out. All right, you're listening to Weed Day Wednesday, brought to you by Tumbleweed Health Center.
Are chronic conditions holding you back from a happy, healthy life? Get on the right track with Tumbleweeds Health Center. Our CBD products are formulated to fit your healthy lifestyle.
I would definitely say that CBD has changed my life. I mean, I don't worry about my dog anymore, and I don't worry about sleeping anymore.
Tumbleweeds Health Center, voted number one health center in Tucson, has created a proprietary number of CBD blends, each designed to promote health and well-being. Let Tumbleweeds Health Center show you how CBD products might help you improve your life the natural way.
Well, you can give us a call. Call us at 520-838-4430. Email thctucson@gmail.com. Or you can just come on down to 4826 East Broadway Boulevard. All right. Here's another state that's having problems with Delta 8. Delta 8 THC regulation continues to be a hot topic in Washington State. Ooh, sorry, Gabe. Okay, Washington state regulators are indicating a willingness to regulate Delta 8 THC products for sale in licensed cannabis dispensaries, although chemical experts say that the issue will require study before rules can be drafted. The Washington Liquor and Cannabis Board announced that it intended to regulate the sale of Delta 8 THC products sold in the state's licensed marijuana dispensaries. Last year, the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration, the DEA, ruled that Delta 8 THC, a cannabinoid that occurs naturally and can also be processed from CBD, is a controlled substance, not permitted by the 2018 Farm Bill, which legalized hemp agriculture and products derived from the crop. Since that time, at least a dozen states, including New York, have banned Delta 8 production and sales. April's policy statement from the Washington Cannabis Board said that the DEA's interpretation of federal hemp regulations is unenforceable and that the agency would create regulations for Delta 8 sold in licensed cannabis dispensary. At a meeting of chemists from the University of Washington, Washington State University, and private labs organized by the board last week, researchers said that study into Delta 8 has been limited so far. Quote, frankly, the field hasn't done too much with Delta 8 because it does almost the same thing as Delta 9, quote, said Nefi Stella, a professor of pharmacology and psychiatry at the University of Washington and co-director of the school's Center for Cannabis Research. The, the Cannabis Board's policy statement holds that it is not legal to sell Delta 8 produced from CBD or other cannabinoids in licensed dispensaries, but some groups, including the Washington Cannabis Association, believe that the Liquor and Cannabis Board could regulate the extraction of naturally occurring Delta 8 THC. For more of the Cannabis Board, focusing on what is good or bad cannabis versus consumer safety, said Vicki Christofferson, the executive director and lobbyist of the trade group. Brad Douglas, an organic chemist with the work group, with the workshop, a cannabis testing laboratory based in Southern California, did not offer an opinion on whether state officials should regulate Delta 8, but did say that it could be done. Quote, I do see a path with ingredient standards and the proper regulations to test and regulate these products so they can be safely used, said Douglas. That's purely opinion and based on my understanding of the science and toxicology, but I think it's possible, quote. Last week, Colorado lawmakers removed an amendment to a cannabis cultivation bill, HB 1301, that would have, among other things, outlawed all products containing Delta 8 THC. In a statement to High Times, Henry Baskerville, a partner with Colorado-based Fortis Law Partners applauded House Majority Leader Danyeya Esgar for convening a conference committee to consider the amendment. The committee rejected the amendment on Friday by a vote of 5-1. Quote, as Delta 8 is a hemp-derived cannabinoid, it had no place in HB 1301, a bill intended to regulate outdoor cannabis cultivation, quote, wrote back. Had the amendment passed, it could have ended outdoor cannabis cultivation in Colorado, as well as wrongfully banning Delta 8. When faced with the prospect of arbitrarily eliminating Delta 8 from Colorado's commercial landscape, lawmakers stepped away. However, Baskerville also noted that the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment ruled in May to ban Delta 8 from all foods, drinks, and dietary supplements. The attorney urged the health department and the Colorado Marijuana Enforcement Division to exercise restraint as the agencies take input from stakeholders on the regulation of Delta 8 this week. Quote, Delta 8 products in states across the country are derived from hemp, which, due to the 2018 Farm Bill, is a legal agricultural crop, said Baskerville. Hemp products from textiles to building materials to cannabinoids are just as legal as the plant itself. There you have it. Yeah. So confused as to why they're saying it's illegal, because now there's Delta 10. Are they going to make that illegal? Most likely. What are you guys smoking out there? Hello to Grand Island. What's the weather out there? How's it going? What's going on? Where are you? Who are you? Hi, Tuna. Reggae Ryan. All right, what is going on? Okay, let's see here. So you're listening to Weed Say Wednesday, so there you have it. You can call 646-915-8421 if you'd like to be on there. I had to once again trick my own show to make sure that we got the show going. So, let's see. What else is going on in the world of weed? So you do know that you can grow your 6 plants here in Arizona, 12 in the same household if there are 2 people there. And you can get on down to the grower's house at 3635 East 34th Street. It's pretty easy to get to, and they've got a nice new, they've fixed their whole lobby area. So they got a nice new lobby and lots of cool products in there. And you should all go check it out, or just go to growershouse.com and check it out, because they got a lot of products on sale right now. It's getting hot, so make sure your air conditionings are, if you're growing indoors or outdoors or wherever you're growing, just make sure that it's going to be cool, because we're looking at 111 or 112 degrees by the end of the week. Okay, New York towns and cities considering opting out of legal cannabis dispensaries. What? Yeah, okay. Cities and towns across New York. Gosh, New York is just getting it today. Ugh. Yeah. Cities and towns across New York are considering whether to allow retail cannabis dispensaries and consumption lounges legalized under state law to operate within their jurisdictions, with some officials urging them to act as a deadline approaches. In March, the New York State Legislature and Democratic Governor Andrew Cuomo approved legislation to legalize marijuana for adults and establish a regulated and taxed economy for the commercial production and sale of cannabis. Under the legalization or under the legislation, municipal governments have the right to opt out of the establishment of licensed cannabis consumption lounges within their borders. Towns and cities that decide not to allow such businesses must hold a referendum on the ban if at least 20% of registered voters sign petitions calling for such a vote. During a recent webinar, Brand Sattel, the legislative director of the New York State Association of Towns, warned municipal leaders that do not want cannabis lounges and retailers in their communities that they have only until the end of the year to approve a local ordinance. Cities and towns that do not opt out before that time will not be able to in the future. Quote, the local law has to be adopted on or before December 31st, 2021. That's coming up really quickly. It's like a one or done shot. If you adopt it on January 1st, it has no effect. Municipal leaders across the state have begun to take notice, and movements to enact bans on cannabis businesses are already underway. In North Salem, a suburb of New York City in Winchester County, the town board has set a hearing to be held June 22nd via Zoom on a proposed opt-out ordinance. At a meeting of the board on May 25th, Supervisor Warren Lucas said that if the town opts out of the businesses, the decision can be reversed at a later date. At some point in time, when we see how it all works, there's always an option of going back in. But once we opt out, we can never opt out. But once we opt in, we can never opt out. Councilman Martin Aronchick agreed, saying, "Now's not the time to opt in. It's much smarter, if it's ever going to happen, to just see how it's working," he said. Lucas added that, quote, "We are a farming community," quote, noting that he has received input from constituents who are interested in growing cannabis and others who are concerned about having cultivation operations located in the community, although local leaders do not have the power to ban cannabis growers licensed by the state. "I've had people call me up saying that kids don't really need a marijuana farm in town. They'd be there on the weekends picking buds. So I think we do is just approach this cautiously." Lucas predicted a mixed response from local residents in New York, saying that we're going to have a couple of people show up and say it's a wonderful thing, and a bunch show up to tell us we're crazy for even considering this, that we should not have it in the town or Salem. "I know stuff like this falls on both sides." The Kent Town Board also considering the issue of cannabis dispensaries and consumption lounges, with Supervisor Maureen Fleming calling for a referendum on the issue. Councilman Chris Ruthven, however, called for an immediate vote to opt out of cannabis retailer and consumption lounges. Quote, "I'm ready to vote to ban the dispensaries," Ruthven said at a June 1st meeting. "I'm having a hard time comprehending that our state made this legal. I don't think it was a good idea by the state, and I'm not going to do anything to help support it in any way, shape, or form." Whether or not local officials in New York approve licensed cannabis dispensaries and lounges to operate in their failed war on drugs, that cannabis sales will occur. It's up to city leaders to decide whether at least some of that commerce occurs at retailers that are regulated and taxed by the state. It's interesting to see, and this is all from High Times Magazine. I'll post that on our little chat board here. You can get a link to that. It's just interesting that some cities just are opting out altogether, and in 10 to 20 years, it's just going to be everywhere. We know that. It doesn't even matter. It's all, like you heard, there are still 80% of people that haven't tried this. That's crazy. So it's interesting to see. I know Benson over here in Arizona has opted out of having cannabis dispensaries. So they took another vote, I guess, and they're like, yeah, nope, not going to do it. So it was weird because that, you know, generates a lot of revenue for them and jobs for people. And anyway, I didn't hear of any, you know, problem with the Benson dispensary anyway, other than that it was really small and kind of lacked product. I went in there once. It was very, literally like a room. It was very small. It was like a little, but hey, if you had something, you know, if you needed something, there's usually something there for you. Anyway, folks, that's just my opinion. You are listening to Weedsday Wednesday. Thank you, Gabe Cruz, for coming on. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in and being with us on the show each and every week. Remember, only 199 days left until Christmas. Get your bongs ready. Get those joints rolled. Get ready to pass them out to all your family and friends that come over. I think it's important. Everyone needs to calm down. I think we're going to have a guest next. You're going to have to tune in and check out tumbleweedshealthcenter.com. Also, come on down to 4826 East Broadway Boulevard and come get certified. Come get some CBD products. No Delta 8. We don't want to get busted. But come check it out. We have everything else. We've got keef and hash and pre-rolls, and it's all hemp. It's all awesome. Tumbleweeds Health Center, come on down. Check out tumbleweedshealthcenter.com. And thank you for listening to Weedsday Wednesday. We love you guys. Have an awesome week, and stay cool. Change those filters, your AC filters. Have an awesome Weedsday Wednesday, everybody. We love you. Thank you, Gabe, for coming on. Woo-hoo!
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.